Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of a podcast named Tim, but not just any episode. It's the second annual Timmys. It's our award show. We're putting a little bow on season two. We're a father and son movie review podcast available everywhere podcasts are. We also have a YouTube channel where we're doing things like Mandalorian reviews, Power Ranger reviews, and other fun things as well, putting the audio podcast on there. And if there's other things you'd like to see, let us know. We are available for interactions or on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And we do have a website, podcastnamedtim.com. So please hit us up on all the social media places. Tell a friend about the show. And today we're going to be talking about Star Trek, the motion picture, and then going through our four award categories. The best movie of season two, the worst movie of season two, best movie poster, and more movie, which means a movie you want to see a prequel, sequel, or a remake of. We watched 134 movies over the last year, and we're going to kind of reminisce and take a little walk down memory lane as we move into year three. Zach, I'm Zach. Dad, how are you today, good sir? What is going on?
I'm doing fantastic.
Can you believe we've done this for this long?
No.
Me either.
Not you anyway.
Yeah, I quit very easily on things.
There's a whole lot of quitting that boy.
Absolutely.
It's not quitting. No, there's a difference in quitting. You move on to other things. You get other interests in it.
I get distracted.
Yes. It's not like you just go, I ain't doing this no more.
Yes. But yeah, so in total, in 2 years, we've watched 269 movies and opined on them in some form or fashion.
And I'm retired, so I have nothing better to do. So that's why I'm still here. Just watch the grandkids. That's all I do.
That is a full time job. Well, other than these lovely things, I guess we should say we are recording this day after Halloween, before the election. So happy Halloween to everyone. And half of you didn't win. The other half. Hopefully the person doesn't F things up.
Anyway, I'm not even getting into
that. Moving on.
Yeah. Be safe.
Yes.
What was going on in D.C. last night, by the way? Was something going on in D.C.?
I have no clue.
All right. I think he was getting some kind of crazy video with nuclear alarms going off and stuff. I don't know if they were having some kind of riots or what. But anyway. I've been watching, I finished Entourage, so I had to find me a new show to watch by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I chose Hung.
Yes, I am.
And it is not a life story. It's not a documentary on myself. It's pretty good. It catches you pretty quick. I'm about four episodes in, and it's pretty amusing. You know the background. You know what it is.
It's like a guy, he's jiggling himself out, right?
Yeah, it's Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
And he just is kind of at the end of his rope with money and not making any money and just sick and tired of it. And just, he's divorced and got kids and house burned down. And he takes a class for business and they told him to find that one tool that you can use to make money. And he got told by this kind of one night stand lady that he had a really big one and maybe he should use it. And so what the best part of the movie is not that, it's she's becoming his pimp.
Mm.
And she's like a geek. She's like a total weird person. She's not like into this kind of stuff at all, but she like him wants to make some money. She's tired of what she's doing. And she's hooked her horse to his wagon, no pun intended. And yes, so it's pretty good so far. Other than that, just some Halloween stuff, some horror movies. Watched a little Hammer last night. Not MC Hammer.
Yes.
Hammer Films.
Yes.
But, Dracula Has Risen from the Grave, which I've seen before. It's not right. And it's not one of the best. It's not one of my favorites. It's Christopher Lee. And it just happened to be the first one as I was scrolling and just pushed it and watched it.
We both watched Mando, obviously. If you want at least my thoughts, you can go to YouTube and check them out.
That's an excellent idea. So you did a review on YouTube?
I did a full review. I did a preview of the season of what might happen, and then I did a review of the first episode. And then it'll be a review of the
come out between preview and review.
I think I did pretty damn good, actually. So what were your thoughts on Entourage, by the way?
Entourage was good. I mean, it started falling apart toward the end. It started kind of becoming the same old, but I would need to check out the movie. I've never thought I would say this, and I'm not going to go all the way through. I'm a fan of his, but I didn't mind Jeremy Piven finally.
No, okay.
He's always kind of gotten on my nerves, and I've always kind of thought he's probably a real douchebag, which he played a douchebag, so maybe that's why. But no, he was the agent, and he was actually really good at it. So yeah, I'm gonna check out the movie and see where they go, because they kind of left it up in the air. But yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I sure think if I watch anything else, a lot of Power Rangers, because again, Power Ranger reviews on the YouTube channel, and. I watched this morning, little one wanted to watch Shark Boy and Lava Girl, so I went down that rabbit hole had not seen that since I initially saw it years and years ago, with good reason, obviously.
You wore it out, Devin wore it out, and Alex wore it out. I have seen that movie more times than I can't remember.
It is not as bad as I remember. It was bad.
I absolutely hate George Lopez in it.
Oh, I thought he was the best part.
Oh, my God. He annoys me so bad. Mr. Clark. He's just, I mean, I don't know. I thought he was bad. But.
What's up? That's a great joke.
Whatever.
That's great writing.
That's terrible. Terrible. Terrible.
But that's about it. That is about it. Waiting for, as we're recording this, Sunday morning again, November 1st, the Dallas Cowboys are playing tonight, and I have to give a shout out because I don't know if it's Benjamin, but I'm going to call him Benjamin DiNucci from James Madison University is going to be making the start for the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. My alma mater, let's do it.
Those are four string quarterback.
Third. Who's third?
No, I said, who is their first quarterback?
Guy named Gilbert or something like that. He was a backup for the Browns that they cut at some point, and they
make a prediction that by the beginning of the fourth quarter he'll be in.
I'm going to make a prediction that Mr. DiNucci is going to ball out.
Well, I wasn't saying it because it was his performance. I just have a we just seem to be having a rough season with quarterback, actually with everybody.
Yeah,
I don't think we have anyone starting that was originally supposed to start. Everybody's in the hospital.
Okay.
I do have a complaint.
You have a complaint?
Yeah.
Well, the HR department didn't open on today.
All the shows are starting back.
Okay.
Some of them, which is really weird because I kept hearing that The Walking Dead had started back, so we turned it on. It's one episode that they happen to have finished.
Ooh.
And it's going again until next year. Could have just saved it. Anyway, that's not my complaint. We were starting with The Bachelorette. Yes, I watched The Bachelorette. Only for my wife, of course. I don't care for it. Anyway. And they're having to talk about COVID, of course. Because it's they had to, you know, do things for the show. Penn and Teller have had to do things for their show. I get all that. But now the dramas are starting back. This Is Us, Grey's Anatomy, blah, blah, blah. So we watched This Is Us. I watch television to escape. My life is out here. I know what's going on. I'm not somebody that's sheltered. I know what's going on in the world. So that's why I watch TV, so I don't have to deal with what's going on in the world, because most of the time, it's kind of sucking out there. This Is Us, that's what it was all about.
Or was everyone just doing COVID-themed?
Yeah, well, I mean, I knew Grey's Anatomy was, and I thought, okay, it's a medical show, so... I mean, I don't want it to be the whole season, but I'm afraid they're setting a dangerous precedent with This Is Us, because that's all they were talking. I mean, they did do some of the writings, and they did do the murders and the looting and all, because there is a an African American character in it, that he's the storyline is kind of him dealing with those when he was adopted by a white family. And so that was kind of an interesting. And a lot of people hated that storyline. I didn't mind that because it's reality. But the COVID stuff, yeah, I hope every show that I turn on is not going to have to start with that.
Man, Power Rangers Dino Fury is going to be really weird. But they have masks, so I think they're fine.
No, they'll be okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we'll see. I just, yeah, at least, and then maybe that's why I'm going to have to watch things like Mando, because they're in a different, off in a galaxy far, far away, and they ain't got no COVID. So
he's got
armor, yeah. Anyway, that's my two cents. I just don't want every single show to have to talk about it, because again, it's an escape. Television is supposed to be our time away from that.
Yes. Well, speaking of escape, we can escape to somewhere very far away into the future. Let's go ahead and talk about Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Before, well, why did we do this one now? We already did 2 and 3. I don't understand.
We have to go back, and then we're gonna. Because next year then we'll be season 4, we'll be number 4 and 5, and we'll just keep going forward. So now we're
just start with one to begin with.
We started with Wrath of Khan because it was a movie we knew by heart, and for a pilot episode, it was going to be easy to talk about.
Plus, it's one of our favorite movies.
Yeah, it's one of our favorite movies. Well, before we talk about Star Trek The Motion Picture, let's take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. Star Trek The Motion Picture came out in 1979, has a G rating, 2 hour and 12 minute runtime, 6.4 on the IMDb score, a 41 on the tomato meter, a 42 on the audience score there. It is directed by Robert Wise. This is our second Robert Wise film we have done, the other one being The Andromeda Strand, so we have done his two big sci-fi movies. And of course, stars all the people you would expect to star. Not going to name all off. It's the original cast. That basically there is a giant spaceship heading towards Earth, and they have to get Admiral James T. Kirk out of the office and into a ship to go see what's up. What did you think of Star Trek? The Oscar nominated 3 times over Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Well, it's been some time. I'm not sure exactly how the whole thing came about to Reese, because you know it wasn't Star Wars, of course, or Star Trek wasn't a hit when it was first on television. But then all of a sudden, right afterwards, it was on 5 days a week, and it became a huge thing. So I guess you know it was natural they made a movie.
Mm-hmm.
When I went and saw this in the theaters, I absolutely hated it. Because they took away Star Trek. It was not Star Trek. It was a bunch of just flat, one-dimensional characters. There was no humor involved. There was no feelings toward each other involved. There was just... I think they were trying to make 2001 Star Trek version. They, I guess maybe they didn't want to do a Star Wars, so they were trying to go the opposite way. So they slowed things down. They did all these big, long shots that just took forever and meant nothing to the story. The concept is actually kind of interesting, and I'd totally forgotten the concept.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I was too young at the time to really grasp the concept. That was good. So if we'd have had the characters developed into the characters from the 60s and brought forth with that story with some better writers and all, maybe we could have had a successful movie. I hate this movie. Again, I thought this would be the 20 minute shots of them flying to the Enterprise, just the over and over again, watching their reactions from inside of the shuttle, watching as they, I mean, we know what the Enterprise looks like. I didn't need a inch by inch view of it. It just had a lot of waste of time. They could have cut 40 minutes out of this movie without even blinking, just by get them to the ship. Let's go. Let's move on with the story. I didn't need all that. Maybe it was cool, dramatic, and they wanted the pretty music, and I don't know. It just was boring. The costumes were horrible. looked like they were all running around in their silk pajamas. But what that was about, just everybody just seemed like, why are we here? What are we doing? What? I don't know. I don't know who did this. I'm not sure why, where it went wrong, but it went wrong.
So this is my second viewing of Star Trek, the motion picture. I had seen it a number of years ago. Did not care for it then. It was better this time, certainly. It's still, it is no Wrath of Khan or Search for Spock, but there were some positives that I noted this time. I don't like the suits, but they weren't as bad as I remember. The spectacle of it was definitely high of the time, as far as, like you said, like a 2001, this is what sci-fi epics are supposed to look like in some respects. So it was definitely incredibly slow paced. And yeah, there was one point, I think, when they were shipping out originally, where it was just like, good God, this is like a 10-minute scene of them just... It was like... It made me appreciate the parody with Tim Allen. What's that movie again called?
Galaxy Quest.
It made me appreciate Galaxy Quest, that when they're exiting the ship for like 10 minutes, and you know, it made me appreciate that sequence much more. And which that is the best Star Trek movie. But the characters weren't as bad. I think it was from the performances of the actors much more than the writing from the character perspective, because I think, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, I got the impression that Shatner was not wanting to Shatner it up more. He wasn't Kirk. He wasn't being Kirk. It seemed like he was trying to be much more serious leading man in this, and I think it was on him and some of the other actors than it was the actual script, because I thought there was some decent writing as far as their connections. I like the concept, you know, man versus machine. It's the same kind of idea as far as humanity and what we're supposed to be as 2001, told in a somewhat coherent idea and fashion. So I appreciated that. And I really liked the, this is just kind of a weird side note, I liked the tractor beam scene in the beginning where that got messed up, because it just was a weird thing that you never really see happen in Star Trek. The tractor beams just always work. And so for someone to die from tractor beams growing up and being unable to materialize was cool. But what else do you have to add to this? I have some other things, but I don't want to talk too much.
You mean the transporter?
Yeah, the transporter. What did I say?
Tractor beam.
So, yeah. Sorry. Transporter.
Yeah.
There was tractor beam. Yeah.
Of course, then they beamed Dr. McCoy over, so that was
weird.
You know, I don't know what else to say with it. The Stephen Collins and William Shatner scenes annoyed the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of that. Just quit whining. He's an admiral. When the admiral walks on board, he's in charge. Shut up.
Yep.
I'm done with this. I don't care how I got it back and why. I don't know why the Enterprise is always the only star. It's the only ship that's ever in the quadrant. I thought this seems to be a not so massive fleet. It seemed to always be the ones. I just didn't care for it. I don't know. And the bald chick was. I just had watched. About a week before, we watched the Seinfeld episode when George got dumped by the bald chick. So every time I saw her, I just kept seeing George saying, "She's bald! She's bald, Jerry!" But anyway, it just, and I don't know how you couldn't hate those outfits. Oh my God, those outfits were just horrendous.
Let me clarify. I liked the one that Kirk had, where it was like white, the white top. Everyone else's I didn't like at all, but I thought Kirk's was okay.
And you definitely hit on the point that he wasn't being Kirk. But why was he told not to be Kirk?
I don't know.
Was he just tired of hearing about was he tired of hearing George Takei and them bitch about his overacting and his stealing the scenes and he just trying to make nice? Was he just didn't give a shit? Who knows? I don't know what, but no, he definitely was not hurt. So,
well, he did have a quote about the movie after seeing it. Apparently he said, "Well, that's it. We gave it our best shot. It wasn't good. It will never happen again." But you know, apparently, you know, obviously later he said, "Well, shows what I know."
I mean, did it make money?
I don't even know. I did check, to be honest. I might pull it up here in a second, but it's did you see some of the other interesting trivia as far as, you know, Uhura, her earpiece was the only actual original thing?
You know what? I actually didn't read the trivia to it because I just was like, or research much of it because I didn't, like I said, I don't care for this movie. I try to act like it didn't get made. I just ignore it. I'd rather watch the cartoon.
Look. Budget $44 million, box office $139 million.
Well, that's why they made a second one.
Yeah,
it's that simple.
I mean, there you go.
Which I didn't really have that many friends that were Star Trek or Trekkies. I considered myself a on the verge Trekkie, not quite. I didn't know Scott couldn't stand Star Trek, so. I didn't really have anyone to talk to about, but I do remember some of the friends that, no, I don't remember anyone that liked this at the time. I don't know. I mean, I guess there was, since it made that kind of, well, it made that money on maybe first view. I don't know who watched it the second time, but yeah, they need to have a trim down of this thing. Did a woman edit this or a man? I'm going to guess a man. Because your best films out are edited by women. That's simple. I look at even Lawrence of Arabia, I think, was maybe done by a woman, but it's considered great in editing. Pulp Fiction, all those. Men sit and shoot, you know, 15 weeks worth of shooting, and they hand it to the woman and say, handle this. And somehow women can't stop talking when they're telling a story, but somehow when they put a movie together, bam, 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 they can do it.
This is a fascinating theory that I would love to go deeper into at some point.
Well, we will. I think that's true. I think women do the best editing of movies.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, there were a couple other little tie-ins and interesting notes. So the Klingon words that were spoken at the beginning of the film were actually invented by James Dolan, Mr. Commander Scott, of course. I think he'd also invented some
Doohan,
excuse me. I'm thinking something else.
It was in the tractor beam.
Yeah, he was stuck. Look, it's everyone had one coffee in this morning.
And I can't think of what it's called. It's Gig Battle Force.
Yeah.
Grid Battle Force.
Look, man, that's a hard thing to say. I will stick by that.
That's Grid Battle Force. Grid Battle Force. Grid Battle Force. Is that hard?
Command Center.
Command Center. Why is that hard?
That's easy. That's my point. Command Center is easy. Grid Battle Force. Too many words.
Grid Battle Force. I don't know. I don't have a problem with it. Anyway, enough Beast Morphers, which I believe you also have on YouTube.
I do. Those are on YouTube. We're going to hopefully, my plan is to hopefully finish the entire series by the time Dino Fury comes out.
Well, I've already finished the first season, so.
Well, I meant reviews and everything, but we'll see. Of course, the theme of this film was loved so much by Mr. Roddenberry that it was used for Star Trek The Next Generation. So it did carry on in the lore. Decker,
I didn't remember that until it came on. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Decker is actually related to another Decker from the Star Wars universe, or Star Trek universe, excuse me. I believe someone from the Doomsday episode or something. There was someone else who was named Decker. He's like his son, and they're related. So
there was a Commander Decker, wasn't there?
Well, this is his relations, his kin.
Ah.
And those are pretty much, those are the big things I have.
I mean, I guess we had to do it because you wanted to do them all, but yeah, I this is another one of those ones that I never would have watched again had you not put it on the thing, because I just it kills Star Trek for me. And I know people are gonna say, "Oh, you're being silly. That's this dumb. It's a great movie." But I think if they actually think about it, it just it's probably the lightheartedness. Even Star Trek was, yes, it was campy, low budget, you still, it had a little bit of, I don't know, it just had a lighthearted part. And some of it, you don't need all of it. But this one just was like, they were just rigid and, I don't know. I just didn't care for it. It wasn't Star Trek.
Did before we move on to our awards section and reminiscing, did you prefer the Andromeda Strand, the other Mr. Wise sci-fi film?
No, they both sucked.
Because I know you didn't like either one.
No.
Okay, just interesting.
No,
So
they're
you just.
both in the same vein. They were just long, slow, drug out for no reason when they each had a really neat idea that, yeah, I must not like his stuff.
Well, I'm about to say, I was going to point to, I think there's another movie of his that you also don't like.
Yeah, didn't he do the big epic?
He did two other big movies. He did West Side Story and The Sound of Music.
Now, Sound of Music, I love.
Yes, but
West
I know
Side
you don't.
Story, I can't stand.
Yeah.
I don't like the songs in West Side Story. Besides the, I couldn't really get into the story of West Side Story either. The gang thing, I couldn't really deal with. But yeah, I don't like the songs in it. I don't know why, but I love the songs in Sound of Music, and it's you know, it was.
Well, and we are missing one other big movie he did.
What's that?
The reason he probably got this film and he got the Andromeda Strand, he did The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Which I like.
So.
I do now see that is a slow-paced movie, but it's barely two characters. Yeah, there's surrounding characters, and it's not a whole lot of movement. It's kind of in one place, and it's about the anticipation of what's going to happen. So it's okay to build that slow because you need to have the audience feeling the tension of the time ticking away until we find out, you know, when that visor raises up on the robot, what's going on? Is it good or bad? So that one was okay, slow build, but getting there was no reason for that shuttle journey. Okay, so and I almost feel like they just totally made up that scene that you liked, the transporter scene, so they could do that. Because everybody else would be like, why did they just transport people over? Why did they have to take a space shuttle? So they had to come up with that silliness to explain why we had to take that god awful.
That was the worst part of the movie.
Oh my god, and they kept, and which I know it's 79, that was some bad effects. That screen, the picture, the window, I remember the picture in the window of that space shuttle when you kept seeing Kirk and them looking at each other when it was flying. That was so bad.
When 2001 recently came out and Star Wars recently came out, your bad effects excuse goes out the window when you're talking about a major franchise.
Well, Star Wars didn't have the best effects, the first one. It had good ones. In
They're
2001,
great.
it had excellent effects. So, okay, maybe it's not the time. Maybe they just didn't spend the money on it. But yeah, it was. They had to pay Kirk. They had to pay Shat. The Shat gets money. Probably didn't then, but I would like to know the difference in his salary between the first movie and the second movie.
Well, and moving forward after that. Okay, well, that is the beginning of season three, but let's.
He's oh,
Yes.
and we lost Sean Connery
Yes. Yeah,
this
thank you for mentioning that.
Which I'm tired of hearing. He was the original James Bond. He was not the first James Bond. He was the second James Bond. He was the first James Bond in an actual quote unquote James Bond movie. But George Lazenby played James Bond before him in Casino Royale. So there's that cleared up. And yes, I know Sean Connery was a complete piece of crap in real life. But he still was the best 007 ever.
I am the last one. He also was a great Dragonheart.
Yeah, and he was good. He was good in Highlander. I liked him in Highlander.
Yeah, yeah.
And absolutely love him. He makes the movie. He makes the Untouchables to me.
He's great in the Untouchables. He's great in Red October, Hunt for Red October. He's good in The Rock, if I remember correctly.
He should have played Santa Claus.
And he's the someone, I saw a great quote from someone. It's like, Sean Connery died. I loved him on Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yes, that is who was it played him?
Dale Hammond.
What is it?
Daryl Hammond.
That is one of his best things. That and when he was joined by Norm MacDonald's Burt Reynolds. Those were great sketches. But anyway.
Well, let's go ahead. We've gone to the future. Now we need to take a step back and reminisce on the last year. Again, I mentioned we watched 134 movies. Just a little. I made a giant spreadsheet of all of our movies.
No. We watched 134 movies for the show.
For the show. So, yeah, let me clarify. For the show. There are other movies we watched. We reviewed 134 movies.
There you go.
And kind of aside, like, asterisk beside another movie, which was The Killer Pinata. So kind of another one. But 19. So if you average it all together, here's some interesting stats. 1985 would be the average movie year that they would have come out. The average runtime would have been 108 minutes. 7 on the IMDb score. 76.7 on the tomato meter. And
we went up on the. Weren't we at 5 or 6 last year?
I can pull that up for you real quick.
Pretty sure we went up on that one.
Yeah, I think we picked a better movie this year. So, which is good. We purposely, you know, we try not to pick bad stuff. Sometimes we do.
That's not what Alex says.
Alex thinks we purposely pick bad movies.
Alex thinks that we pick the worst movies on purpose.
Sometimes. But there's a specific reason to when we do that.
I tried to explain to him that there are some bad movies that are so bad they're good. There's a reason for them. You're watching them because they're bad.
Yes.
And Amy and him just cannot grasp that. There's no cult classic or campy movies. B movies would not exist in their world at all.
So I do have it up here. So last year, 1987 was our average film. So we went back a little bit to the mid. Our runtime was a little longer. Last year was 106. You are correct. Last year, our IMDb score was 6.8. This year, 7. Last year, our tomato meter score was 73.7. Now it's 76.7. So better movies again. And again, tomato audience score, 69.9. And now 72.9. So, or 72.6. So all rated fresh. In total, we watched 238, almost 239 hours worth of movies. So, better movies. We covered every decade, essentially, through the 80s, at least, so far. We've not done the 80s yet. That's coming up. Through the 70s. We've covered every decade up to the 70s. We're going to continue that through the modern day, moving forward. But, before we get to our awards, are there any movies that you want one final commentary on? Rush a lot.
Yeah. not really.
There's a couple I'd like to just comment on. And let me scroll through here just to find them. It is. So Ex Machina was great. Didn't get nominated. I had a hard time figuring out what to do with that because it's a great movie poster and it's a great movie, but it just couldn't rise to the occasion. I am surprised that you did not nominate Thank You for Smoking for Best Film after your commentary on that.
It was in the running.
Okay.
I don't remember why it didn't make the cut. It was on my list because I scratched things off. That one and one other one I had the hardest time scratching off. But one of them was, I put on there, and what I really thought about it was No, it really wasn't a great movie. I just really enjoyed it. That was Christmas Chronicles.
I should say I messed up one of my nominations. I should have, because I forgot about the movie because I hated it that much. I put Purple Rain in the worst movie category. It should have been replaced by Tommy. So that's on me. I'm sorry. It just, I forgot how shitty that movie was and just erased it from my
brain. Yeah, I was still, I just tried to totally ignore that you put Purple Rain up there.
That should have been Tommy. 1,000%.
Purple Rain shouldn't even have been in contention.
Oh, it was. It should have been.
Just the soundtrack. The soundtrack and Morris Day. If you just put those two things up, it should have never been in contention.
I wanted to nominate Platoon for Best Movie Poster. That was in the running, as was Kill Bill. But just didn't make the cut. Again, Singin' in the Rain, thought about nominating that, but I don't know if I'd watch it. I mean, I would watch it again, but I don't know when I would watch it again.
It's hard when you've watched 134 movies. It's hard to narrow it down to three.
It is very, very difficult. Birdcage was great. Just thought I should not say that. And Hamilton, I love, but it's not a movie. It's a film, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I did. I also had a hard on my list of best movies that didn't make it was the Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. Or
oh yeah, yeah, that was good.
I really liked that one. But
okay,
what can you do?
Well, let's go ahead and get to these nominations. We'll start with the best movie poster. So the nominees were Snakes on a Plane, Empire of the Sun, Barbarella, Them, and Gone with the Wind. Any thoughts you want to lend to why you nominated certain things or anything like that?
I've always liked Gone with the Wind. I like the color pop. I like the classic. I like the big scene above with the little pieces of the movie under it.
It's a classic.
Yeah, I see it in the old style theater up front in the little glass case that they, you know, rolled out and put next to where you bought the tickets, and it just was perfect for that.
Yeah, I will say, Barbarella to me has that just great pulp science fiction look to it. It's kind of the definition of that. And it's one of the few things that can draw you in to actually want to watch the movie. Snakes on a Plane, it's exactly what it should be. I remember when the movie was coming out, just being, that was one of the first movie posters. I was like, that's awesome. That looks amazing. And Empire of the Sun is just beautiful, I think. Beautifully, looks great. But the moment of truth, the runner-up for best movie poster is Gone with the Wind. And the number one best movie poster for season two, Snakes on a Plane, which we both nominated. So I had a feeling that might be where we were going. Just for posterity's sake, I guess last year our winner was Krampus. So,
oh yeah.
And so let's go ahead and go to the more movie category. Again, this is the movie you want a prequel, sequel, remake, something more for.
This is my favorite category.
This is my favorite category, too. It's always fun to play around with this. I thought about Barbarella a lot here because I know we had talked about that when we watched the movie that someone could maybe play around with it. I noticed you nominated King's Row. And I remember we had discussed it when we did the review of it. But why King's Row?
Again, I think it's a story that can be told in any era. They could update that real easily. Actually, probably pretty fascinating. I think there's, I know we talked about a lot of cast people that we could put in. I just think there's tons of people out there that could play those roles. It's an interesting story. It's, I don't know. I just would like to see it. I'd actually, since they're so into redoing things anyway, let's stop remaking things that, I don't like things that are remade 10 years after the other one.
Yeah.
So that's too soon. So let's go back into the archives a little bit. Let's go into, what was that, the 40s?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Let's do some stuff out of the 20s, 30s, and 40s that maybe need a little bit, that were good, but they were in that style of, well, they were black and white, of course. They were in that style of overacting a little bit, that, you know, that dramatic time, and let's pull them into the now and do something with them.
I should say, I was going to nominate Train to Busan, but of course, it already has Peninsula out, so there already is a sequel, so I couldn't really nominate that, but if it had not had a sequel already coming out, then I would have definitely nominated that. So our runner-up for the more movie category, our nominees were Better Watch Out, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Message from Space, and King Joe. I just like Message from Space. I think it's a fun, I'd like a little cheesy TV show of it, but I understand why you would not. The runner-up is Better Watch Out, and the winner, with both of us putting it at first place, Killer Clowns from Outer Space as the...
It's the sequel since the day it came out.
Yeah. And last year, I will say this is funny. Last year, we put the same thing both in first place. So we both 2 years in a row, we've agreed on what the winner should be. Last year was Team America World Police.
Nah.
So.
Yep.
But let's go to the worst movie category.
One thing on that, I don't want them tinkering with the look of the clowns.
No.
I don't want update. I don't want CGI. I don't want any kind of weird stuff. I want the clowns to be the same look.
Yes.
They could update some other stuff. They could have some of the other effects a little better and all that, but then the sets and the script and all that. But no, don't mess with the clowns. All right.
No, our worst movies: Purple Rain, Yellow Submarine, Mulan, Warriors, Prisoners of the Sun, and One Down, Two to Go. Wish I would have put Tommy, but I literally blocked it from my mind. So, other than Purple Rain, why Prisoners of the Sun? I felt that was a good sci-fi channel level movie.
We're better than that.
Are we?
I just didn't care for it. I just thought it was... I'm not even sure exactly... I forgot about Tommy as well for some reason. So I would put Tommy in its place.
So we would be able to win a belt.
So I should have, but yeah. I don't know. I just didn't. I just could not. I don't know. I could not get into it. There was nothing about it that made me ever even want to think about it again.
Okay. I will say I nominated Mulan. Is it technically the worst movie ever made? No. This is my flag. I'm throwing a flag at Disney. Stop this shit. This is against the business practices of remaking and destroying people's childhood. If you're going to remake something, first of all, you better show up with something that doesn't suck. So that's why Mulan's on here. Stop. Stop. Stop buying this shit. Stop spending money on it. And it's especially because this movie was $30 to watch. So this is for business practices. Anyway, we have a situation here. We have a tie. So we have co-winners. Or losers, I guess. The winners / losers for this category.
Then I have an idea.
Okay.
Tommy, worst movie of the year.
Well, so here, would you like to hear what they are?
Sure.
Yellow Submarine and One Down, Two to Go. Do you think Tommy is worse? I think Tommy is worse than One Down, Two to Go. I don't think it's worse than Yellow Submarine.
And I'm exactly the opposite.
So, what do we have a weird situation here.
We have a three-way tie.
Three-way tie. So a new competitor has entered the race.
Did you put One Down, Two to Go?
You put One Down, Two to Go.
I know, I just didn't know if you did too.
No.
And did I put...
I put Yellow Submarine.
And I did. So that's what I'm saying. We both have agreed that Tommy would have been our choice had we somehow remembered it. And that's why I think Tommy should prevail. We should call. We're at the line. We're at that line of scrimmage.
I'm fine with this.
Audible.
I'm fine with this.
Kill, kill, kill. Tommy.
Tommy. Was so bad it didn't even need to be nominated to be the worst movie of the year. I am perfectly fine with this.
Let's call it Space, a foregone conclusion.
That's right. And last year, I don't even need to look this up. We both know what the worst movie of last year was. And that was The Story of the Chinese Gods, which we both put in first place. And our runner-up last year was Thanksgiving 3.
I would actually switch those around, I think.
I should say that last year we put The Christmas Chronicles at second place for the more movie category, and we're getting more movies, so Hollywood has listened to us.
Oh, so Christmas Chronicles was, well, that's why I didn't nominate this year.
Yeah.
See, all my stuff's running in together. I thought it was this year. All right, well, never mind.
We watch a lot of movies.
We do.
So, best movie category, the big shebang. Last year, the winner was King of Comedy, and the runner-up was Director's Cut. This year, we have some great nominees.
Who Penn was very appreciative of.
Yes.
He sent us an email, and there was a Twitter. I talked to him. I reached out to him and told him, and he was probably flabbergasted that it was even nominated.
Absolutely. We're here to make dreams come true. So this year we have for our best movie nominees, The Lighthouse, which we did as a bonus episode, Bicycle Thieves, 12 Angry Men, The Flowers of War, and Them. Is the of the ones you nominated, is there something you want to expound upon?
No, I think they were three of the best movies that I've watched, and I don't know, they each in their own right. I had never seen any of them, and they just, yeah, no. That's...
Okay. So the, well, yeah, we'll go ahead. The runner-up was one of my nominees, and that is The Lighthouse. I put this as my number one vote. I can't get this movie out of my head. It's quotable. It's shot beautifully. It's acted excellently. It's fun. It's not fun. It's unique. It's not, you know, it's a movie that I literally can't get out of my head. And that's, I could not nominate it. And, It's just a great film. It's why this and things like Director's Cut are why this podcast exists, is to find these movies. I mean, and as should come to no surprise, I believe we both nominated this film for best movie of the year. Bicycle Thieves is the winner. I remember when you called me. This is the first time we had done this. We recorded an episode and you'd watched it. I think you had just watched Bicycle Thieves. You called me and said, "This is a great movie. You have to watch this, like right now," basically. I watched it and then I immediately called you afterwards and we recorded another episode and talked about it. And, it's just a fantastic film where it's a story of fatherhood and trying to get through hard times, and it centers around nothing but a man trying to get his bike back that was stolen from him, and it's just such a basic concept. The fact that it's able to pull your heartstrings and create all of this tension and drama, and it's what an excellent film.
It's just relatable. It's relatable in any time. And no, that does not mean I want them to touch it. This definitely should never be touched.
No.
You couldn't. It wouldn't make any sense now because they would probably make it about a cell phone or something stupid. So, leave it alone. I don't want it. And I did not watch it dubbed. I watched the subtitle version.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, this is a great movie. It really was.
That's a damn good movie. And I would say, to me, Lighthouse is the best movie we've watched overall for this show. But I would say I would say, and I'm talking about even last year, I think this might be my second or third favorite movie we watched.
I have a few that I think are over Lighthouse, but Lighthouse was definitely good.
Yeah.
But it's not, it was kind of draining.
Yeah.
So I don't really, I haven't watched it again. I might watch it again sometime, but that's not, I don't know. It was just too emotionally, like, I was wrecked after.
But yeah, I mean, if I'm thinking about back to last year, here are the nominees for last year, just to put it in perspective. Sunset Boulevard, Sleepaway Camp, King of Comedy, Director's Cut, Patterns, and Elmer Gantry were our nominees from last year, which were all, again, really great movies. So, I think we did good. I think we did good, and I think we're going to do even better for year three.
I think, we have to go up on our scores again.
That's going to be tough.
That's going to be tough, because I got a bunch of B-movies listed here that I want to watch.
Yeah, I had a list of movies I wanted to get to that I could never find a way to insert, so I just kind of carried some of that over for this upcoming year. But speaking of that, our first episode, as we've mentioned, there are elections happening, so I thought it would be fun to do something about presidents or elections or government. You know, it could be about a historical figure or...
You know what we should have done to celebrate election time?
A face of
apocalyptic movies.
Maybe that'll be next week. the week after that. Depending on how things go. Our Air Force One is going to be our main feature. And I want you to go first. What am I watching? I have two things.
I have three movies that I've been deciding between. And I can't decide how I want to go. Silly, stupid, funny, stupid, or serious.
Okay. Both of mine are serious.
Okay, then I will mark the one off that I was going to do. So, let's do Idiocracy.
I'm glad you picked that. I actually thought about that the other day.
You want to know what the other ones were?
Yeah.
My serious one was Wag the Dog.
Okay.
Which I have seen. It's good. But my other one, and it's only because after I came up with Idiocracy, I typed in election movies.
Mm-hmm.
Napoleon Dynamite came up. And I've always not liked that movie until I watched it like two or three times, little scenes of it. And it actually makes me laugh. I still say I hate it, but there are some scenes that make me laugh. But I'm glad that Idiocracy is where I actually wanted to go. So,
well, I was teetering between a biography or a biopic, I guess, in some respects, historical drama, and another serious film, and I'm going to go with this one because I've never seen it, and it's an older film, so we have a nice mix of time. We're going to go with All the King's Men.
That was on a short list too.
Yeah, the other one I was thinking about was Lincoln.
Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman.
No! You're thinking of All the President's Men.
Oh, All the King's Men.
All the King's Men. From the 40s. Broderick Crawford, John Ireland, Joanne Drew, John Derrick.
I mean, I've never seen that one either then.
It is The Rise and Fall of a Corrupt Politician Who Makes His Friends Richer and Retains Power by Dint of a Populist Appeal.
Alright. Yeah, it was. I totally heard All the President's Men. I don't think I heard anything after you said All.
Yeah, All the King's Men.
Alright, All the King's Men. All the King's Men. Gotcha.
Yes. So those are the movies for the week. But that'll be fun. I've never seen Air Force One, and I've never seen All the King's Men, so I'm excited.
But you've seen Idiocracy.
I have seen Idiocracy, and I love it, so I can't wait to watch it again.
Now, we're not supposed to, that's a spoiler.
We'll talk about it.
I can't believe I picked a Luke Wilson movie. What the hell am I thinking? I mean, is it Luke or the other one?
It's Luke, yes.
The other one's name, Owen.
Owen.
O Owen.
Owen's always the other brother.
Nice.
Thank you. Well, that's all we got, man. We'll figure out some themes and ideas for episodes. I think we had discussed we're going to probably have some 80s stuff coming up. Probably have some Thanksgiving theme stuff. Maybe post-apocalyptic. I know that's your favorite.
You know, the easiest way for people to tell us if they have themes, YouTube.
Yeah, comment.
Go on YouTube and just leave a comment. But that's you can only leave a comment after you subscribe and
that's
like.
That's true.
Then you can comment.
That's true. That's how that generally works. And I'm going to make a pitch. Probably in January or February, because that's when I like to get really artsy with my films. I think we should rip a Band-Aid off that you don't want to do, and we should do an all-silent film week.
Look, you made me, in this year, you made me watch Battlefield Earth, and you made me watch Star Trek The Motion Picture, and there's a third one that I swore I would never watch that you made me watch. Or actually, one of them I picked, I think, or I don't know what it was. So, I can do that, I guess.
That's just a thought. I gave you 7 chances this year, which you said was pretty good for a sound film.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah.
I don't know about 3, though. We'll see.
Yeah, I know 2 that I have in mind, but we'll see. Okay, well.
So just make it better than that.
Battleship Potokum?
Yeah.
That's it. Well, we'll figure it out, and we'll see you all next week and for another year of a podcast named Tim.